Good morning. Thank you, Mrs. Boone. You guys are so blessed by the best leadership at this church. As Mrs. Boone said, I had her in a very important and kind of chaotic stage of life. And this family, they're the real deal. They love Jesus and they love people, as I'm sure you guys know. And so thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And thank you for all that you've poured into me and my family. We really appreciate it. Also, thank you to all of you for letting me be here. I talk to pastors and ask them for ministry advice, and they all say, why don't you preach a sermon? Like, get the reps in and practice. And yet very few pastors are actually willing to open up their pulpit to a high schooler. So thank you, Pastor Boone, and thank you to the church. And thank you for all of those who came on the worship team and to support me. I appreciate it. My name is Willem Hobson, and I'm a senior at Heritage Christian, and I can confidently come here today and tell you that God is on the move in our generation. God has put the concept of revival on my heart for about 2 years now, but we have seen more sparks of revival in the past few months than I have seen in my whole life. In fact, this generation has realized that they've been sold lies, and there is a hunger for truth, for true truth, for God's truth. In fact, this past weekend alone, we had 30 high schoolers packed in a basement for Bible study. And the next day, we did worship as the 16th Heritage football player got baptized in a backyard pond in November. So God is on the move. And what this generation has that's so cool is a boldness for this truth. We've seen what God can do, and we want to share. Almost this whole worship team who played for you this morning and others who have come today have done worship nights in downtown Fishers, downtown Carmel, Noblesville, Brownsburg, all the way around central Indiana and in downtown Indy. And it's not easy to do those worship nights. It takes some boldness and a lot of work, but they're willing to do that because we know what God has done. I say all this not to make us look great because we're not, but to give God the glory and to show that revival today in our day and age is possible if we live as a church set apart. So that's why I titled today's message, The Power of a Set Apart Church and a Holy God. So will you please pray with me before we jump in? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come here and gather today and really just to get to witness you moving, Lord. You are just moving in such a powerful way. We praise you for that. Open up our hearts today to what you want us to hear from your word, Lord, and just help me to speak your word and just come straight from you and not from me. In your name we pray, amen. If you haven't yet, please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 1. Starting in verse 13, it says, therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you are also to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy as I am holy. This passage, it holds the call that might be the most crucial in all of Scripture. Be holy as I, God, am holy. What exactly is holiness? This passage, I think it loses its significance and its weight if we do not have a proper understanding of this word, holy. Many of us take this passage as a call to be perfect, as God is perfect, which we immediately write off as unattainable. Others of us see this as being full, as God is in his fullness, and we look to feelings to satisfy our Christian walk. And while fullness and perfection are of God's nature, they're not the same as holiness. In fact, these attributes come because of God's holiness and are a result of his holiness, not necessarily a synonym to his holiness. And so the most basic definition is, if you're taking notes, holy means to be set apart. God is holy because he is so set apart from any other being. And in return, he calls us to this very standard. A standard not merely of perfection or emotional wholeness, but a standard of being set apart from the world around us. This was the call God gave to Abraham, to be set apart for his promise from the peoples around him. This was the call to God's call to Israel, to be set apart for the promised land from the nations around her. This was God's call to the disciples, to be set apart for intimacy with Jesus from the Pharisees, the listeners, and the mockers around him. This was God's call to the early church, to be set apart for Pentecost and the arrival of the Holy Spirit from the chaotic world around them. And this is the call to each believer, even still today, to be set apart for Christ, to live like we're heaven bound from the wickedness in the world around us. When the church lives set apart, there is power of God that results. But before we can understand what it is to live a life that's set apart, we must first look to a holy God. You see, God does not call us to be holy or set apart without giving us an image of what holy looks like. And the beauty of this is that God of all things gives us an image of himself, the most holy and set apart thing imaginable. When we see God for who he really is, there is no response but a desire to be holy as he is. There are three things that this passage sets our focus on in terms of God's holiness. In order to understand God's holiness, on the notes, the next point is we first must know his sacrifice. Verse 18 of this passage, it says, "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty ways of life, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb." When one truly understands the significance of the gospel, they will heed the call to be set apart. For God himself is set apart in his love for mankind. He is set apart in his mercy. He is set apart in his sacrifice. Of all the gods this world claims, and all the people that the world fames, who has done what the Lord has done? The answer is no one. In terms of sacrifice, who has given so deeply of himself as the Lord? We were redeemed not with gold or silver, as Peter writes, but with the precious, pure blood of Jesus Christ. Few men would give perishable things to save someone who rejects them. And yet, it is the Lord, with his holy, set-apart mercy, who gave of himself his own son to save us while we were still his enemies. There is truly no sacrifice like the Lord's. Verse 20, it says, "He was foreseen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed to us in these last times for you." To understand the holiness of God, we first must know his nature. This nature was revealed to us, as this passage makes so clear, in the form of Jesus. Jesus was set apart from men as God incarnate. And this act sets Christianity apart as the only religion in which God came to man. God's nature revealed to man shows us why he is set apart. We read his word and we see his actions, him creating the world with just a word, healing the sick, and ultimately raising from the dead. And we must cry out, our God is holy. We get a glimpse of his unconditional love, his abundant grace balanced with his uncompromising justice. And we must once again cry out, our God is holy. Verse 21, it says, "Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." This passage gives us a confidence that our faith and our hope are in a sovereign God. From the garden, we have seen him set apart a plan to save mankind. This is a plan that he saw to throughout history and continues to this day. God's holiness, the way that he is so high above us in perfect character, and the way that he is so set apart in moral goodness, is the standard that we fall so far from that condemns us. Yet, it is the very holiness of God, his set-apart love and his set-apart mercy, that provides a way to save us. On the notes, or more simply put, God's holiness is the standard that condemns us. But it's also the very thing that provides a way to save us. And it's this very fact that should blow our minds and provides the reason that God calls his church to be set apart. In fact, our response to God's holiness should be a striving to be set apart. But oftentimes, we fail to do so. In view of God's holiness, we need to know three things that are now true about ourselves. When we look at verse 19, we see God's sacrifice. But we also need to realize the weight that comes with it. We need to know our price. Reading verse 18 and 19 again, this time through the lens of the price that has been paid for us. It says, "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty ways of life, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold," but this was the price, "but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb." That is our price. We often talk about not wanting to waste money, especially when it's money that is not ours earned, but rather a gift given. But yet in the same breath, an imperishable gift, the blood of Jesus spilled for us, often goes neglected. What poor stewardship of the most important gift given to us. When our price is the blood of God who became man to die for you, why do we view ourselves with such little dignity? If this is what we cost, why do we intoxicate ourselves with the pleasures of this world? And if this is what you cost, why do I treat you so poorly as I do? You see, when you cost as much as we do, just like with a precious item, you treat it with special care. Why then do we slander those for whom Christ was willing to pay such a high price? And why do we hurt those who have not yet known about such a valuable gift? When you cost as much as we do, but the price has been paid, we are indebted to surrender our all to God. Because he has seen to it that we are set apart by seeing to the death of his son for our sakes. And so, we ought to live set apart for the rest of our days. If you would, look back up in your Bibles to verse 14. Sorry, I'm skipping all over the place. But verse 14, it says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance." Even as believers, we know that the ways of the flesh, they're not dead. It is easy for these sinful ways to creep into our lives and to ruin our holiness and ultimately our witness. This is why this passage reminds us of our former ignorance. We must, the second part, know our tendencies. We must know our specific ungodly desires and daily crucify them and surrender them to Christ. We will never achieve perfect holiness. We will always have marks of the world on us, scars from our previous ignorance without Christ. But with the Lord's help, it's much easier to be set apart and set free from ungodliness if we know what our tendencies are. All of that being said, it points us back to verse 21. It says, "Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Ultimately, in our pursuit of holiness and our struggle to be set apart from the world that entangles us, verse 21 reminds us to put our faith and hope in God. Guys, it's impossible to be holy unless we know our God. Truly knowing God and communing with God, it changes our desires. It takes away the ways of the world that are so ingrained in us, and it replaces them with the attributes of God. Rather than turn to anger, we turn to grace. Rather than hate, we love. And ultimately, this is the foundation to set apart living. The more time we spend trying to know God better, the more our lives will reflect him. And the more our lives reflect him, the more and more set apart our churches and our lives will be. Although there's no simple step plan to living set apart lives in the world in which we're in, this passage does give us 5 marks of set-apart living, which I want us to go through. Back to verse 13. "Therefore, because of everything that we just talked about, because of God's holiness, because of the set-apartness of Christ and the power of the gospel revealed to us, with our minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." There's 2 points here. Firstly, ready your mind for action and stay sober-minded. Ready your mind for action and stay sober-minded. That's 1 point with 2 things. We are in a battle against the flesh, a battle against the enemy. To be set apart, we must be always ready for action. We must be always ready to do good in the name of Jesus, always ready to defend our faith, always ready to share our faith. And then we're to be sober-minded. We're to stay sharp, Don't let your mind get content and your heart get comfortable with this world. Don't lose your sight on heaven because you get drunk on the pleasures here on earth. Remember, you are set apart for a reason and by a price. So don't let your desires entice you to settle for less than what you were created for. Perfect union with God. The second point that we see in verse 13, set your hopes on God's grace. Set your hopes on God's grace. We can't lose sight of God's gift, both past salvation, present, his spirit, and future eternal glory with him. All of these are undeserved graces, each which should remind us why we are set apart and encourage us to live like it. With our minds set on God's grace, such magnificent grace that saved us, we should also reflect this grace upon others. It should flow out of us. For point three, verse 14, it says, as obedient children, again, we read this, but again, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. Point three, simple enough, do not be conformed to your previous ignorance. Do not be conformed to your previous ignorance. Again, know your tendencies. Know what your ignorance was, and now know that you know better. The biggest testament to set apart living is living differently than what you once did. Christ has set us free, so do not re-enslave yourselves to sin. Verse 17 says, if you appeal to the Father who judges impartially according to each one's work, then you are to conduct yourselves in reverence during your time living as strangers. Point four would be appeal to God as judge. Appeal to God as judge. Know that you cannot live a life of holiness alone. You need God's help and God's grace. And in the same way, in others' walks of holiness, give them the same grace that God gave you. Yet, we are to test everything against the straight stick of truth that the perfect arbiter and judge of truth, God, has given to us. And finally, in verse 17.5, live a life of reverence. The importance of reverence has left so many of us in the Western Evangelical Church. And to be set apart, we must treat the things of God as holy. If we are to celebrate him as we claim he is, our lives must stand in humble surrender. Our lives are God's, and they must be surrendered to him, and our words and actions must be sanctified by him. We must live lives of reverence. And finally, I want to encourage us with what the power of a church set apart for God's uses can do. The church that is set apart with the presence of a holy God, you see, it has immense power. And if only the church awoke today, surrendered its desires to that of God, and it starts with every believer, not only praying, but obeying, and the power of God would come like a rushing wind upon his bride. And so there's many, many things that a set-apart church does, but there's three main powers that I want to highlight this morning. Firstly, a set-apart church has the power of reconciliation. When a church is so grace-filled, spirit-taught, and humbled, it is truly a light to its community. And the church can unite people like no cause the world has ever seen. Because the true bonds of Christ, they hold stronger and they triumph over any other. Secondly, a set-apart church has the power of a remnant. I love this word because all throughout Scripture we have seen the concept of a powerful remnant. When a group of people, however small, they refuse to compromise on what is true, when they love like no one else will and they live like Christ, they stick out and God blesses that. And when they stick out, Christ is so clearly seen by the culture around them. And when this happens, oftentimes the third power of a set-apart church is made abundantly clear. A set-apart church has the power of revival. When the church is set apart as a remnant, reconciling the lost with God, what results is revival. And to bring this full circle, what I believe, this is the season that we are all entering. More than converts, Christ wants disciples. And this next generation wants to be more than just a number of people saved on a page. They want to grow and develop in God. There is a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And so revival comes when the church lives set apart and its sole mission is to point others to a holy and set apart God. Our God is so good, so high above, so holy, so set apart, that when we understand that, we're humbled and we realize that we're nothing, but yet God uses us in his plan. And we realize that our job is just to be one beggar to tell another beggar where to find bread, the bread of life. And so set apart living, it's not about us. It's not so anyone can see our holiness and so everyone can see God's holiness. And when they see his holiness, they find set apart love, his set apart grace, and ultimately they find the holiness of the gospel. And this gospel will change their lives just as it changed ours. And because it has, now we say, yes, Lord, make me holy as you are holy. I want to be set apart to follow after you because you set down heaven to chase after me. And so that's the power of the set apart gospel. And that's where we say our God is so great. He is so set apart and holy, but yet he chases us down too. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are so good to us and we are just overwhelmed by your holiness. You are so just holy and your set apart love and your set apart grace is so good, Lord. And yet you chase each one of us down and we are anything but holy, Lord. Yet you desire a relationship with us, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Just set us apart, Lord. Help us to grow closer to you, to grow in our holiness ultimately so that we can be a witness for you and that we can see more and more souls come to saving faith in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.